Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the Chainine Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
One day away. Welcome in, NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Glad to be back with you here on this Monday afternoon, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Ryan Kelly, Micah Kilpatrick doing their tag team in the production work back there on this fine Monday. And we've got a ton to get to. What a crazy weekend it was. Saturday, Halloween, what were you doing? Everybody was doing something a little different. Sunday, the Denver Broncos made me so, so sad. And then they're like, you know what? Tanner's too sad right now. And they came all the way back and won. Now dropped off my ballot today. Now we wait. Tomorrow is the day that has had so much going on. I'm going to dive into polls. I'm going to dive into early voting, and I'm going to dive into some of the things. We're going to touch on it a little bit today. Obviously, I'll talk much more about it tomorrow. But with some of the things that how's it going to go, right? How are these different propositions, how are these different amendments going to take place? And why are they so damn hard to read? Because I don't know if it's just me. Maybe I'm just a moron. I've said that on this program a couple of times that, you know, when I don't know what I'm talking about, I'll be the first one to say it. But a lot of these, the wording and a lot of these amendments and these propositions, it's so confusing. I had to reread a couple of things. I mean, I sat there, and I hope a lot of people did. And I think that this year we saw more of this, of people legitimately sitting down and researching on these propositions and these amendments and these candidates, for that matter. But it took me longer to fill out this ballot than it has in any other ballot in any history. And it's kind of crazy, the wording on it and what it all means. So I found a pretty good source. If you guys have not filled out your ballot yet, and if you, maybe you filled like all but a couple out there, or you're getting ready to vote tomorrow in person, good for you. What I would do, this has been a great asset of mine. It's ballotpedia.org. Ballotpedia.org. It's a nonprofit organization. The .org means that it is verified. It's not just a random website that Ryan threw up in his spare time. I mean, this is a legitimate website, and they break it down in a great manner. They say if you vote yes supports these things, a vote no supports these things, here's who has all supported this amendment, here's who supported this proposition, here's who has opposed it, and then they list the official arguments. I mean, it's in-depth, it's thorough, it's not just like Uncle Vinny saying, you better not vote no on that proposition because you hate America if you do, or the other side, you know. I mean, it's literally people who have taken their time, they've dug up, you know, interviews with different candidates, they've dug up, you know, proof of here's who supports this. It's very well done. So if you haven't voted, or if you still have a couple questions on it, ballotpedia.org is a great way to go about it. Gail Fallon and myself join us tomorrow evening, 7 to 10 p.m. I know everybody's going to be stressed tomorrow. I know everybody's going to be watching that presidential election, but there are some really important local elections that will be taking place as well. We'll be talking with the winners. We'll be talking with Carly Compass, the Weld County Clerk and Recorder, talking with some political insiders, as well as giving our thoughts and keeping you updated on the numbers, but giving you our thoughts on what this all means for Weld County, Larimer County, for Northern Colorado, for the state of Colorado, and for the nation, of course. But there's a pretty good chance, I think, as a lot of people have come to grips with, is that there's a pretty good chance we may not know who the president of the United States is tomorrow. And I think that's something that is, I mean, it's a hard truth, is that we may not know. And with the anticipation that has built up around this election to not know who our commander in chief is, it's not going to be good. There's going to be a lot of people very uneasy. That's going to be the talk of the town. Personally, I think it'll be Wednesday. I think that they will figure it out Wednesday. I know there's people who are saying that, you know, it's going to take months to decide. It's going to take, I don't think so. And the reason that I don't is because of early election and early voting. And there's been far more people who have taken place in early voting than ever before. But I talked about the craziness around Northern Colorado, and with that, let's get to news for Northern Colorado. Three shootings happening in Greeley over the last couple of days. This by Trevor Reed out of the Greeley Tribune. The first shooting happened on Thursday, right about 3 p.m. It was on the 1100 block alley of 11th Avenue. The coroner has identified Maurice Maestas as the gunshot victim. He took the gunshot to the head. Police sent a medical personnel. They arrived. They took him to the hospital. He was later pronounced dead Thursday afternoon. They're still investigating that story. Have not seen any new information coming from that. If you have any information, you're asked to contact Detective Sanchez with the GPD at 970-351-5394. So then there was three more shootings that occurred Saturday night and Sunday morning. About 11:40 p.m. Saturday, there was a man who got knocked unconscious during a fight in the parking lot at Starlight Station, the old Cactus Canyon. As the suspects were fleeing the scene, they fired multiple rounds in the air. About an hour later, police responded to another shooting in the 1900 block of 11th Avenue, right down by UNC. A man was injured after multiple shots were fired. His injuries, thankfully, were not serious, and he was released later in the day. And then, about an hour and a half after that shooting, police responded to a third shooting of the 800 block of 28th Avenue, where a man was critically injured in a gun battle at a Halloween party. Police have not provided an update on the man's condition. So personally, what I did, so where I live out, there's no trick-or-treaters. There's nobody coming around to ask for candy. But I grilled a steak Saturday night, and my girlfriend and I watched Marvel movies. That's what we did for Halloween. And it was great, but I'm sitting there and bing, bing, bing. All these notifications keep popping up. I'm like, three shootings? And this is what's... I'm gonna gripe for a minute here. I'm going to get on my soapbox. It's been a while, Ryan, so I'm going to get on my soapbox here. This is what's ridiculous about COVID-19. The Halloween parties that I saw taking place, the amount of people out at these different events, and yet, at the end of the day, who is going to be the one who's going to get shut down first? It's the businesses. And this is where COVID-19 sucks. It's because you have these people... Look, and I get it. If you're healthy and you're following, you know, the regulations that are in place for, you know, businesses, great. But if you think that you've got it, if you've been around somebody, you know, they've got this contact tracing now. If you've got a notification that you've been around somebody that's had it, stay home. Because yeah, it may not affect you. You may be young. You may be okay to bounce back early, but then I'm just where I'm trying to go with this, and I won't get on this too much, but where I'm trying to go with this is the fact that businesses will be hurt first from events like what happened on Halloween. Businesses will be, and that's just unfortunate, and that's the unfortunate truth about it. Businesses and business owners will be they will be hurt first before any of these partygoers and everything. And I'm not, you've listened to the show long enough. I'm not everybody stay inside, everybody, you know, I'm not into the fear mongering because we know enough about this now to know how to be responsible and live our lives with it and not be reckless and careless. There's a difference. And there's a line that you can walk. And a lot of people on Halloween evening, three shootings in Greeley. I mean, come on. got to be better than that. Let's continue on news for Northern Colorado. You want to be a part of the conversation, please. 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. You can text the KFKA text line at 31996. 31996. Any new texters, you can subscribe by texting KFKA to that number. You'll be set, ready to go. I promise Ryan won't be texting you back or anything like that. We just want to hear from you. Want to know what you're thinking here. It's a stressful time. How about some good news, shall we? You know, we talked about the Camber Peak fire. We talked about the East Troublesome fire, the evacuations that it caused. Just an absolute mess. Well, I've got good news. All of the evacuations have been lifted in both the East Troublesome fire and the Cameron Peak fire in Larimer County. Containment has jumped. That snow was incredible. And they talk in this story out of the Coloradoan by Miles Bloomhart, but they mention, you know, a lot of these firefighters are just like, it's crazy what one week can do. That's all it was. On Monday morning, as of this morning, the Cameron Peak fire was at 208,913 acres. By far the largest wildfire in Colorado history. The containment has now jumped to 85%. It was at 64% last week. So great news. All of the evacuations have been lifted. The one thing, so when you see stats on this, and this is a very, we try and be a very numbers, you know, factual driven program. When you look at the number of structures that have been burnt or damaged, that's not going to be finalized until everybody starts to get back to their houses because there's stuff that people could have missed. They do ask for you to report that for their records about any damages to buildings, anything like that. So make sure if you know of someone, just tell them, hey, report this in. But thankfully, the containment is way up on both of those fires. Very good news. Got a couple of sports headlines. Let's go here. Andrew Olivares. This is, I love this story. Kid from Greeley Central. He's the first four-time wrestling state champion in Greeley in a very long time, possibly ever. I don't have that. I don't remember off the top of my head. I watched him win his fourth state championship from Greeley Central. It was incredible. Well, he stayed at home. He could have gone to any, you know, some of the big wrestling schools, Nebraska, you talk about Ohio State, some of these other big-time wrestling schools, Iowa. He chose to stay at UNC. Well, in just his second year, Andrew Olivares will be a captain for the UNC wrestling program. This by Jaden Watson Fisher out of the Greeley Tribune. He'll be on there. He is the only sophomore, obviously. The other two will be redshirt seniors Jacob Seeley and Alan Clothier. They'll be serving as the team captains. Incredible group. The UNC wrestling program is very good, but wanted to give my guy Andrew Olivares a shout out. You'll love to see local guys stay and strive, and he's going to just keep crushing it. I know he's looking for being an NCAA champion or Olympic contender. Olivares most recently won his division at the 2020 senior national tournament hosted by Team USA in Iowa and earned the Outstanding Wrestler Award as a number 9 seed. The tournament brings together the nation's top wrestlers, many of whom may be NCAA champions or Olympic contenders. So really great stuff by Andrew Olivares. Finally, let us get to the Denver Broncos. On Sunday, one of the most frustrating first halves of football I have ever seen. Only two first downs and nothing going on offensively. I will be honest, I text Brady Hull of the whole show and said, it's time to blow this thing up. It's time to fire John Elway. It's all of these things. Maybe a tad bit of an overreaction as the Denver Broncos come all the way back and they win on the last play of the game. There was 1 second on the clock. They snap the ball and Drew Locke finds KJ Hamler, the rookie KJ Hamler, in the corner of the end zone to tie it at 30. Brandon McManus drills the extra point, goes up 31-30 as no time left on the clock. The Denver Broncos with a game that really may have saved their season. They were 2-4 going going into the contest. They now sit at 3-4. I do have to give a shout out though, Philip Lindsay, the Colorado native. We've been talking about Colorado kids. Why not stay on it? He saved the season. He had a 55-yard rushing touchdown that he took to the house that really sparked the Broncos. They had been sitting on 3 points all day. That was the touchdown to get them back into the ball game. So the Denver Broncos, they go on to win 31-30. They play the Atlanta Falcons on next Sunday. 4:20 the time. I want to say thanks to Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Proactive's got locations in Greeley and in Eaton, Colorado. And what I love about them, you know, I've talked a lot about the blood flow restriction therapy that they're offering now that gets you back even quicker than what it normally, what their normal work does, which their normal work is incredible. Now you add this on top of it, it's tremendous. And what you love about it is that you get to meet and know Kate, it's Todd, it's Daryl, it's these other helpers, you know, that they've got in there. They've got high schoolers who can shadow, and they give back to the community. Proud sponsor here on NOCO Now. They're also a proud sponsor of Preps Radio. It's Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. More online at ProactiveColorado.com. 4:21 the time. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, new polls out. There's early voting happening. What does it all mean? Let's discuss on the other side. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Back to NOCO Now on 1310 KFKA.
.425 the time. Welcome back in. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Again, election coverage coming your way tomorrow evening from 7 to 10 p.m. I'll be there along with Gail Fallon, host of Mornings with Gail. We'll be talking with insiders. We'll be talking with a lot of candidates, too, who win and what it all means. A close look on some of these propositions and these amendments, which kind of brought me to my next segment, my next point. And if you want to chime in during any of this, please, 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310, or text that KFKA text line at 31996, 31996. Early voting. I dropped off my ballot today at one of the lock boxes here in Weld County, and pretty straightforward process, and really, I thought it was interesting, too. I was expecting to, you know, the day before the election, I was expecting to pull in there. I went to the one at the city government building. I was expecting to pull in and have to wait in line. There was nobody there. And I think that Weld County has done a very good job, and so does Keeler Mead, reporting on this out of the Greeley Tribune. You've seen... If you've been paying attention to this, you've been seeing how many areas around the nation have to, you know, socially distance and drop in their ballots. Well, the socially distance lines have wrapped blocks. It's gone, you know, for miles even in some cases. It hasn't been great. You got to give kudos to Weld County. They've been on top of this. Carly Compass was on Mornings with Gail last week, talking more about it, saying, look, we've got a lot of good influx. We had a lot of Democrats early on. Then the Republicans late last week kind of got this big push where they put a bunch of their ballots in, and you're still continuing to see that uptick. So far, Weld County has done a good job with this. But does this new system of voting early and often for some, what does it mean for polls across not only Colorado, but across the nation? This has been something that I've talked about many times, that I don't believe, I won't trust another poll in my life when it comes to politics. I think what happened in 2016 was very good evidence of that. There are so many ways now that people try and reach and talk to people and get to it, and the phone calls and the text messages. And I think a lot of people are tired of it. And I know that there are people out there, I'm one of them. I voted a specific way on specific candidates. There was no rhyme or reason to why I did. I mean, that sounds bad. There's no rhyme or reason party-wise why I voted like I voted. I voted personally. So does that fit me into a category? Maybe. Maybe not. But I can guarantee you one thing, and that is the fact that I have not answered a single poll. I've had calls, I've had texts, had one today about the Gallagher Amendment, Amendment B. Haven't answered a single one of them. And I would have to assume that there's a lot more people out there like me than there is who sit there and take the time out of their day and fill out these questionnaires. Ryan, have you answered any of them? Have you answered one? I know there are things. I know for a fact with conversations between Ryan and I off air that I can guarantee you our ballots look different. But he hasn't answered either. So these polls don't mean a thing. They really don't. With that being said, I think that it's relatively easy to predict which way Colorado is going to go in a couple of these things. Just look at past history. One of the polls saying that Joe Biden leads President Donald Trump 53-41% in the presidential race with only a fraction of voters undecided. This is the Keating research poll of likely voters. The Democratic firm correctly forecast the last two presidential elections in Colorado. So I feel like a teacher right now. Let's break that down. Positive. They did correctly predict the last two elections. Who couldn't have? Everybody knew that Colorado was going blue. One of the biggest trends that you can see this, follow the money. We talk a lot about finances, economics in this program. The Republican candidate is no longer dumping money into Colorado. Colorado has gone blue. Just how blue have they gone, though? The biggest question, I think we're going to learn a lot about this, is how close is the Cory Gardner and John Hickenlooper race going to be for Senate? Right now, some polls have Hickenlooper holding the advantage 53% compared to 42% for Cory Gardner. The margin of error, by the way, for plus or minus 4.4 percentage points. That's a lot. That's a lot to factor in when you talk about the amount of people who didn't answer that. It looks right now like Cory Gardner is going to go the way that Donald Trump does. It seems like everybody who voted blue for president will vote blue for Senate. I'm, again, not so sure about this. And I could be wrong. Look, if tomorrow evening, if Colorado goes like it does presidentially, if John Hickenlooper wins in a landslide, I'll be shocked. And I'll admit that I'm wrong when I talk to you on Thursday. But I don't think it's going to be like that, because I still believe there are more split-ticket voters out there than what these polls give credit for. And that's why it's so outdated. People know that a lot of organizations have a lot of information about them. They're not going to go out of their way, especially in a world that is so next, 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 next. They're not going to take 5 minutes to answer this poll. Sometimes the texts that come in, they don't make sense. I don't want to talk to them. I get enough texts on the day. I spend enough time on my phone. Don't respond to them. There was one that I responded to. Now that I'm talking about this, there was one I responded to. I told them I lived in Canada, so I don't even know why they're bothering me. I was a smart aleck. And you know you get a ton of those responses, too. You know you get people vote say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden, cast a vote for Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm voting Trump 2020, and then cast a vote for Joe Biden. I mean, that's how a lot of people work. They don't care. These polls are outdated, and I would not listen to them. Now, if they bounce back and say, yeah, I mean, if they predict everything correctly, then absolutely. Maybe they got something figured out. Maybe they approach it differently. But to me, I don't think they've changed a whole lot since 2016, and they missed by a mile on that one. They missed badly. So don't stay up all night looking at polls. Don't even tomorrow say, oh, the latest poll's this. When you get off work tomorrow, go enjoy a nice dinner. Have, if you drink alcohol, have a nice relaxing drink. Turn on KFKA, listen to Gail and I. We'll walk you through it. We'll be there with you one way or the other. We're going to get through this. And you're starting to see more and more sentiment saying, when this is over, we are Americans. And I hope that goes both ways, no matter who wins. I hope that we can all, at the end of this, shake hands and say, that was nuts. Let's never have this happen again. Because 2020, outside of COVID, would have been a messed up year anyways. And you throw a pandemic on top of it, people are tired, people are stressed. Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, whenever we find it, shake your neighbor's hand, and let's move forward. 4:34 the time, let's take a break. Speaking of COVID-19, we'll talk with Chris Vanderveen, director of reporting from 9 News. It's not looking great. And I'll explain, and Chris will explain a little bit more when we come back on the other side. But first, we'll go to the bottom of the hour news and weather center. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Hull Show, weekdays 12 to 2. Back to NOCO Now on 1310 KFKA.
Four 40 the time on this Monday afternoon. Beautiful weather outside, and let's just throw a little bit of positivity in there as a little bit of depressing numbers. I know we're going to talk about with Chris Vanderveen here in just a moment. And Chris, of course, the director of reporting for 9 News. These numbers they're not looking great, man.
Yeah, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news too often, and you know, like we've had good discussions over the weeks, and when
right.
things were getting better, I didn't hesitate to tell you. This is probably as bad as I've seen the data look, really since April. I just put that online too. Is that we just had a daily positivity over 10% in the state of Colorado? That's not good. We just jumped pretty high in hospitalizations to a number we haven't seen since April. That's not good. Cases are high, though that's to be expected with a lot of testing, but it's really the positivity that's probably the most concerning right now, along with the hospitalizations. But that positivity, once it starts to get above 10%, we're in territory we have not been in quite some time. And that's why people are, you know, if I ain't the only one who's probably a little bit concerned right now.
Right. And Chris, one of the things that I even got asked today was, well, shouldn't the positivity rate be up because we're testing more people? And if someone's going in to get tested, chances are they're having some of those symptoms?
Yeah, of course. And what you want is an amount of testing that captures every person who's getting sick. And I think what's happening right now, if we were testing more people and we were seeing a sort of the positivity stay stable, that would be a good thing. Because not everybody who shows up is going to have the virus. But what's happening now is that once it gets to this level, the people who are much smarter than me say, you're seeing uncontrolled spread in the state of Colorado. There is not sort of, we're not controlling it right now. And that doesn't mean we can't, doesn't mean we won't. But it certainly means what the spread is taking place in all over the state in places that normally that hadn't been seen in a few months, and now they're seeing it, and that's the problem. And again, if there was spread and people were staying relatively healthy or asymptomatic or just mild symptomatic, that would be a good thing. But that's not necessarily what we're seeing right now because we're seeing that hospitalization number rise. And the question is, where we talked about this for a number of weeks, where is the crest? We're still not seeing a sign of the crest, and I think that's the worry right now.
Yeah, and I think it's the worry because you don't necessarily see an end in sight. But, Chris, one of the things that I've looked at as well, and I think you do a great job of reporting on this, is that the deaths so far have been upticking very slowly, and that just started. But normally we're going to see there's going to be a 2 to 3 week period before we start to see that number rise. So far that hasn't been the case, though.
Yeah, and to put this all into perspective, back in the peak of this, we were seeing upwards of like 30 people a day die in the state of Colorado from COVID. That was an alarming number for a lot of doctors, for a lot of people who work in healthcare, a lot of people who work in medicine. Now you're seeing the 6 to 7 range. So it's definitely lower than we were in March and April. It's a little bit higher than we were 2 months ago when it was in the 3 to 4 range. Hopefully it sort of stays there. The questions are, why is that? Is it that it's just a younger population that's getting it and they are less prone to sort of dying from this? Or is it that we've gotten better at health care and that we've gotten better at treating these patients? And I think maybe it's a combination of the two right now. But the question is, once the hospitals really start to fill up, it's not necessarily a do we have enough rooms issue, but it starts to become, do we have enough staff issue? Do we have enough nurses? Do we have enough doctors? Do we have enough specialists who know what the heck they're doing when they're dealing with these patients? 2 or 3 months ago, easy. These patients were well taken care of. There's people that knew precisely what they're doing. But there's a limit to what healthcare can do when the system is strained, particularly from a personnel issue. This is a labor-intensive type of operation for hospitals when they have somebody who's very sick with COVID. They have to have a lot of staff. And the question is, can we continue to have those staffing ratios that keep us comfortable moving forward? Right now, sure, I think we're still there. But since we haven't seen the crest yet, the question is, where does this go?
I think I saw a report saying that there was about 80% of the ICU beds. It may have been your report, actually, Chris, saying that there was an 80% of the ICU beds have been occupied, obviously not all COVID-19 related. Is that still the case, or have you seen any new numbers on that?
Yeah, I'm looking that up right now. The numbers of so basically, hospitals tend to keep their ICUs fairly full. We may have talked about that before, but it's not like they're going to empty out their ICUs. And for the last few months, have been the 60 to 70% range of being full. Now you're starting to see it creep up in the upper 70s. There's still room, and hospitals like to say this all the time. Just because they say there's a number, let's say we have 1,000 ICU beds, hospitals can maneuver where they can add additional capacity for ICUs. They did that in March and April, where they got really ingenious in terms of how they would convert some rooms that would be for quote-unquote normal patients, for people who aren't very sick, to ICU patients. And they could do that. Now, they still can do that, and you can bet your you-know-what that the hospitals are thinking about that right now. How do we increase capacity for the very sick? They're doing that right now. So the number just came up. I'm looking at the number now. So we're talking about 79% of ICU beds are in use right now. Back in July, it was about 68%. So we're not talking about a huge number in difference, but they're starting to lose that ability to be flexible. And that's what worries hospitals.
Talking with Chris Vanderveen, director of reporting for 9 News, as we dive into the COVID numbers here today. Of course, all of the numbers are normally released at 4 o'clock, so we get this fresh off the print with Chris Vanderveen here. Let's talk about next steps. We've talked about it for quite some time now. Is it time for the governor to step in, or do you think he will still relegate to these local and the county levels?
I think that the tendency right now still is the same course, is that let's not address this with a statewide mandate. Let's see what we can do on a county-by-county level, because there still is some differences. What's happening in Denver is different from what's happening in Otero. Those type of things are different. There's some regional differences that are taking place right now. There's also capacity issues. Does your region, does your county have enough capacity to deal with a sudden influx? Like 5 patients in Denver might not be that big of a deal, but 5 patients in, let's say, Phillips County might be a big deal. So can we address this county by county? I think there's going to be that move. And everything you hear from the governor's office sort of, and the governor has been saying this pretty clearly, wants to see this addressed on a county by county level. But as these numbers, I was taking a look at the numbers today, this isn't just Denver. This isn't just Colorado Springs. This isn't just Adams County. But you're now seeing this rate of spread throughout the state of Colorado. And then that pressure starts to mount with the governor of, okay, we've gotten rid of some options. We've gotten rid of our flexible options. Do we consider other options? I hope we don't get there. I mean, honestly, I don't want to see that. I think what we're doing now in Denver, for example, is really destructive to businesses. and it will certainly hurt the economy by going to 25% capacity. That's a problem. I don't want to see that expand throughout the state. I want to see us go back to normal as soon as possible. But I think once you start to lose options, when you don't see the crest in sight, the pressure mounts for the governor or for CDPHE or for mayors or for county commissioners or boards of health to really sort of make decisions that they don't like. And we won't like them, you won't like them, no one's going to like them. But if this doesn't stop, if this doesn't slow, the options of how you address this become more and more limited.
Chris, why is it seems like the governor is obviously a lot more hesitant to issue a statewide regulations this time around. Is that just because there's more information, more data now? Or why is he not taking the swift action of putting in place a statewide regulation?
I think there's two answers to that. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there is more data. We've gotten better at surveillance. We know what's happening in individual counties much more than we did back in March and April when there was just sort of a, hey, this is getting out of hand and we don't really have a good handle of what's going on. So I think that's part of it. I also think you have to be realistic. There's political pressure here, too.
Right.
Nobody wants to be the governor to shut the state down again because, you know, the one thing that helped back in March and April when we closed everything down is that there was at least the idea of some federal money coming into the state of Colorado to help businesses, to help people who were newly unemployed, that type of thing. Right now, we don't have that guaranteed money from the feds. And so if you go into another lockdown, when you don't have a backup plan, that could be a real problem. And then we hurt our economy back in March and April, but maybe some people don't, but at least there was a federal backstop that they could rely on federal money to come in. Without that federal money coming in, you're going to do long-term damage to the economy with a lockdown. And everybody who's making those decisions are much smarter than me, and they know that the consequences of what happens if you shut things down.
Yeah, it's really a terrifying proposition to even think about that. The governor did issue, it's going to be, I believe, $375 to anybody who makes less than $52,000 a year, so some state money coming back that way. But let me put it this way, Chris, and let me see if you can put some anxiety at ease. Panic time yet?
No. And I think the key is to be aware of what's going on. And I've tried to stress this over and over again, is that arm yourself with information. You will make better decisions for yourself and your family when you have better information. There is uncontrolled spread taking place in Colorado right now, just like there was back in March. And so you made decisions for yourself. You said, well, maybe I'm not going to do this, or maybe I'm not going to do that. It doesn't mean you're going to make crazy decisions for yourself, but it just means maybe some limits, some interactions. Maybe not hang out with a group of 50 people you don't know. Making some smart decisions because you know that the chances of you getting infected. And it's not just, I always think of it this way. It's not just yourself getting infected. I mean, I could handle if I knew that I would be the only one that would get infected. But what if I got somebody that I knew infected? That's the challenge, and that's something that I don't want to have to deal with. And so you do things that are smart. So you don't panic. I mean, this is a tough week, man. This is a tough week for everybody.
Well,
there's a lot of stress this week, regardless of this.
I was going to say, it's not like we're in the midst of the most hotly contested presidential election possibly ever, right?
Sure.
At least we don't have that going on.
At least tomorrow's not election day.
So, Chris, obviously, we're going to continue to follow those COVID-19 numbers. Real quick, I just got a couple of minutes left here. I want to shift over to, honestly, some horrifying scenes that we're seeing take place across the country with different businesses boarding up. I did just see that, Denver's putting their whatever their unit is called for response to whatever happens with the election tomorrow, man. Is this all without being, without trying to get into what I've seen you get called for fear porn, without trying to get into that, is there legitimate concern behind this, or is this just extra precautions from what we saw take place in June and July?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think everybody saw what happened earlier this year, and some of these things can be relatively spontaneous. Some of these things can be planned out. But the idea is that just protect yourself, be ready. Does it mean that something bad is going to happen? No. I like to think optimistically. I like to think that maybe by tomorrow night, maybe I'm kidding myself, that we'll know who the next president of the United States is going to be. I like to think that there's going to be some clarity. Now, again, I don't know who I'm kidding. It's 2020, and everything goes poor this year. But like, let's hold out some hope. And like,
I like it. Let,
people don't want to fight. People at the end of the day, we want to come to some sort of common agreement that, like, hey, we can deal with this, and we can deal with this with our fellow man and woman.
Absolutely. All right, Chris, I got to get a break here, but hey, just real quick, tell me, what are your election night plans? Are you working tomorrow, or are you going to be able to sit back and enjoy a drink?
Get this, for the second time, 4 years ago I didn't work. I mean, I worked during the day, and I'm working during the day tomorrow. I'm around, obviously, but I'm going to actually enjoy an election night and just kind of nerd out, watch the numbers, and see what happens.
Well, hey, do you mind if we possibly bug you tomorrow night? We got election coverage from 7 to 10.
You can. That'd
All
be
right.
fine.
Love to hear it. Chris, thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Chris Van Der Veen, Director reporting for 9 News. Let's take a break. I always go long with Chris. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Now back to NoCo Now on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Hey, special thanks to the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Proud sponsor here on NoCo Now. If you want to know more about the owner of that show, listen to Brew Talk on Wednesday evenings. Chad Young, the owner of the Tavern at St. Michael's Square, talks food. He talks beer pairings. He really is an expert. He's a master chef. We love having Chad Young on, and we love the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Well, first, we'll be back at 4 o'clock. We do have a show tomorrow. We'll get you all set, ready to go. And then from 7 to 10 tomorrow night, it's election coverage. Carly Kappas, Chris Van Der Veen, Mike Freeman, all of these, Perry Buck, anybody that we can get a hold of tomorrow, we'll be talking to him. We're excited about it. Of course, Mornings with Gail, get you ready too. Tonight, what do we got coming up? We've got Monday Night Football. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the New York Giants. Coverage for that game starting at 5:30. That'll do it for us. For Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schwint. This has been NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. We'll talk to you tomorrow.